Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. This week, I'll jump right into the news. The first story I have is Linux losing market share to Windows Server. That's the title of a recent eWeek article, and this is from that article. Quote, Linux growth in the U.S. x86 server market has, over the past 6 quarters, started to falter and reverse its positive course relative to Windows Server and the market as a whole. The annual rate at which Linux is growing in the x86 server space has fallen from around 53% in 2003, when Windows Server growth was in the mid-20% range, to a negative 4% growth in the calendar year 2006, IDC quarterly server tracking figures show. Over the same time period, Windows has continued to report positive annual growth, outpacing the total growth rate in the x86 market by more than 4% in 2006, indicating that Linux has actually lost market share to Windows Server over that time. The same holds true for worldwide Linux x86 server shipments, which dropped from the huge annual growth rate of about 45% in 2003 to growth of less than 10% in 2006, the IDC figures show. One of the biggest reasons for this is that the migrations from Unix to Linux have slowed down markedly. We've seen the rate of migration from Unix slow over the past few quarters, IDC analysts Matt Eastwood told eWeek. In my view, this is because much of the low-hanging fruit has been moved and the applications that remain on Unix are stickier because they are seen as business-critical and more political candidates for migration overall. End quote. The truth is, most of the low-hanging fruit probably has been picked off. That's not a bad thing, though, and I'd see it as simply part of the natural maturation process that Linux inevitably had to go through. Now, historically, a large number of Linux migrations were from Unix and also NetWare. At some point, though, that was going to have to change. At some point, Linux was going to have to more directly compete with Windows on the server. Everyone knew that. Why do you think Microsoft has been fighting so hard on the marketing side of that equation? I think it's becoming clear now that that time is coming soon. In fact, very soon. And it's not going to be easy, of course, but I think Linux is now very well positioned. I think it should also be noted that Linux is notoriously hard to track when it comes to these kinds of analyst reports. Many distributions that are being used in the data center now, and I think Ubuntu is a shining example of this, are not really commercial products, so they're really hard to properly track, especially when you're tracking on a hardware basis, which is kind of what this report was doing. To add to that, oftentimes Linux is deployed on hardware that's being reused, so there's just a myriad reasons why the Linux server numbers are extremely unreliable at best. But I'd say let's use that to our advantage. Let this be a wake-up call for us, even if we don't really need one, although I think one is always a good idea, and let it also be a reason for them to think they can sit back and rest on their laurels. The next story I have is Acacia's latest target, Netflix. So it looks like Red Hat and Novell are not the only targets here, and Acacia actually is a bigger patent troll than I had originally realized, and this is from TechDirt. Quote, Acacia has become one of the most hated firms by technology companies that actually do stuff. That's because Acacia is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, firm out there in the business of buying up patents solely to sue companies. Acacia learned a while ago, though, that it was best to keep its name out of many of these suits, so it apparently tries to set up subsidiaries for many of the patents it buys, sometimes giving them silly names to make people think the companies actually do something. Now, one of those subsidiaries, named Refined Recommendation Corporation, is suing Netflix over a patent it holds on optimizing interest potential. It's a patent on the idea of making recommendations or presenting specific information based on user actions. I can recall both individuals and companies working on similar things well before this patent was applied for in 2000, but that's a different issue altogether. Does anyone believe that Netflix, and plenty of other companies, wouldn't be doing content recommendations for people without this particular quote-unquote breakthrough? End quote. So I think it's becoming more clear, regardless of who is backing this company, that the one suit that they do have going against Red Hat and Novell really isn't any kind of political statement or concerted effort against open source. It's just that they're a patent troll in general, and they'll pretty much go after anyone that they can. The next story I have is Asian Linux Distributor Strikes Patent Covenant with Microsoft. So as the title would indicate, it looks like Microsoft struck another patent covenant with a Linux distribution, and this time it was Turbo Linux. And this is from the article. Quote, in a deal that could lead to the creation of a unique cross-platform authentication system for heterogeneous networks, Tokyo-based Linux distributor Turbo Linux announced this morning, Japan time, it has reached an agreement with Microsoft for a cross-licensing of the two companies' patent portfolios. On the surface, what Turbo Linux gets out of this is the interoperability information it needs to develop a single sign-on service, enabling users to authenticate themselves once and transfer that security authority between operating systems. That's how Microsoft is playing up the deal today, as it announces it will establish a permanent workshop at its Beijing office to focus on testing and showcasing solutions for customers and partners, as last night's announcement put it. But Turbo Linux could have gotten that information through a simple one-way license agreement. By making the deal two-way, Microsoft opens up the possibility for a kind of front-end portal, a way to make Windows the login prompt for Linux. While Turbo Linux CEO Yano Koichi characterized the deal as a way to help his customers perceive Turbo Linux as the distribution that works best with their existing Microsoft investment, it's perhaps impossible not to consider the implications of Microsoft being able to leverage its own joint discoveries, to which it would presumably be fully licensed, in devising a similar portal for Linspire and Novell distributions and perhaps others. End quote. In and of itself, I don't find this story too interesting overall, but you can see two trends forming here, I think. The distros that Microsoft are able to entice with these patent covenants and patent deals are becoming smaller and smaller and smaller as we go on here. And second, each progressive deal is getting less and less coverage, and this deal happened about 3 days before I even saw any links to it at all. So the fact that Turbo Linux is not huge in the U.S. and they have a bigger base outside may have something to do with the kind of time lag there, but I really do think it's part of a larger trend, and I don't think you'll be seeing any of the major distributions signing any of these deals at this point. It's going to be those smaller fringe kind of distributions. While on the Microsoft note, the next story I have is Microsoft and the EU antitrust battle. Now, early last week, Microsoft agreed with the EU Commission's 2004 ruling that it was abusing its dominance in the workgroup server market and would not appeal against a further EU court ruling which upheld the Commission's initial findings. The European Commissioner for Competition Policy called this, quote-unquote, a victory for the consumer, but noted her concern about how long it took for Microsoft to comply. Initial reactions in the blogosphere seemed to indicate that this capitulation was a win for open source. It appears that this reaction may have been a little premature. And this is from a 451 Group blog post. Quote, perhaps I was a little quick to congratulate Neelie Kroes on a job well done, forcing Microsoft to extend its interoperability protocols to open source software vendors and developers. It now appears that the terms of the agreement mean that it's incompatible with the GPL. I told Microsoft that it had to make interoperability information available to open source developers. Microsoft will now do so with licensing terms that allow every recipient of the resulting software to copy, modify, and redistribute it in accordance with the open source business model, noted Kroes. Glenn Moody points to the FAQ, which tells a different story, however. Question, can open source software developers implement patented interoperability information? Answer, open source software developers use various open source licenses to distribute their software. Some of these licenses are incompatible with the patent license offered by Microsoft. It is up to the commercial open source distributors to ensure that their software products do not infringe upon Microsoft patents. If they consider that one or more of Microsoft patents would apply to their software product, they can either design around these patents, challenge their validity, or take a patent from Microsoft. As Moody notes, the incompatible licenses include the GNU GPL, as used by Samba, the only program that really cares about Microsoft's damn protocols. And let's not forget this. Patented interoperability information isn't even valid in Europe, because you can't patent software or business methods or whatever you want to call this stuff. And yet, the EU has just passed a quick benedictus on the whole bloody thing. End quote. Well, indeed, given that information, it hardly seems like any kind of victory at all. This is really no remedy for the years of abuse, and the specter of software patents still looms its ugly head here. I think Mark Webbink, formerly of Red Hat, puts it well on his blog. Quote, I, for one, just wish the commissioner had gone a bit easier on the open source rhetoric. It's misleading from the standpoint that the settlement does not resolve all or even the biggest issues that open source will have implementing these protocols. End quote. The last story I have is SCO still hanging on. After filing for Chapter 11, SCO now may have found a buyer for its Unix operations. This is from the article. Quote, while still fighting in the courts and fresh from filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last month, the SCO Group could soon be selling its steadily declining Unix business. In a filing in U.S. bankruptcy court in Delaware, the Linden, Utah-based company said it had received a potential U.S. $36 million offer for its Unix business from JGD Management, an umbrella business of New York-based investment firm York Capital Management. The filing has been posted on the Grok Law website, which has been tracking the legal record of its ongoing lawsuits between SCO, IBM, Novell, and others. In it, SCO reports that the offer includes money for its Unix business, litigation claims, and for litigation expenses. The bid is subject to approval by the bankruptcy court, according to the filing, and competitive bids could still be accepted from other potential buyers. SCO filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization last month as it began seeking ways to stay in business amid mounting expenses and several legal rulings that have hurt its legal fight with IBM and Novell. If SCO gets out of the Unix business, it would continue solely as a mobile application platform vendor, which it's been working to become over the last several years. End quote. So, looking into York, it's a large hedge fund-like capital management company. So at first, I didn't think there was anything odd about this. It was probably a LBO in which the company thought it could squeeze out some value out of a product that had been neglected for years. LBOs are fairly popular stuff these days, so it kind of seemed like just a run-of-the-mill deal. But it gets a little odd from here, as things with SCO tend to do. As noted on Grok Law, quote, JGD Management Corporation has its principal executive offices at 1118 East Green Street, Pasadena, California. And that was from an SEC filing. Continuing on from the Grok Law post, if you Google the address, the first match is a reference to a page on Edgar, which provides the Form 4 for a company known as Arrowhead Research Corp., which has one R. Bruce Stewart as its CEO and chairman of the board. R. Bruce Stewart founded Acacia Research Corporation in March 1991. End quote. So yes, that would be the same Acacia that is currently suing Red Hat and Novell. So it is quite some coincidence. Like I said, it seems like Acacia is simply just a Pratt and Troll firm, but this kind of odd connections here that it's sometimes hard to tell. I haven't had a chance to personally verify all the information from the Grok Law post, but if you go to the article on Grok Law, the links are all there for you to do so yourself. And in addition, if this is a topic that interests you, I've posted a bunch of additional links to do research on my blog, and a lot of them are either Edgar or the SEC info site or various press releases from these different companies. It does seem like quite a tangled web. At some point, more information might come out, but it's hard to tell what really is going on in the end. I can say one thing, and that's that SCO is definitely keeping things interesting. That's all I have for now, but thanks for listening.